Talk Tonight continues on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Richard Krause sitting in for Jim Richards. Big show coming up, so please stay with us. But right now we're going to talk about something that everybody's been talking about over the last little while, and that's airline travel, being stuck in airports, just all the horrible stories that came out of the holiday weekend. Now, new Democratic leader Jagmeet Singh says the holiday travel troubles that left thousands of passengers stranded at airports or struggling to find flights home, and I would guess that there's still a lot of people who are still doing that, says there should be more competition in the Canadian airspace just to alleviate that. Competition brings with it better prices, better service. You want to be number one because when there's three or four other people nipping at your heels, that's what creates great service. To talk about this, I wanted to bring in Gabor Lukacs. He is a Canadian air passenger rights advocate. He was on the show last week. We were talking about some of the horror stories that are happening in airports. Gabor, welcome. Thanks for joining me today.
Good evening.
And now I'm wondering, is competition the thing that we need, or is it just more rules that are actually followed? What is it?
Probably we need both. Competition can be a powerful tool to lower prices, but just by having more competition, we are not going to have better service. It could very easily end up being a race at the bottom where airlines are just cutting corners and trying to offer lower prices by giving just worse service. So what we need is, of course, we need more competition. That's a no-brainer. But at the same time, we need clear rules that are simple to understand, simple to enforce, and very strictly enforced, mercilessly enforced, I would say.
Well, and why don't we have, we have the Air Passengers Bill of Rights, we have laws, and yet I still read where one of the airlines was offering people like $300 for their inconvenience, which contravenes everything that is in the Air Passengers Bill of Rights. It's just not enough money. It's not enough, but some people, I'm sure, took it. Why is it that the airlines seem to be able to get away with this?
So there are two problems. First, the air passenger protection regulations and the regime around it are vague, complex, legalistic, difficult to understand, and doesn't lend itself to easy resolution of disputes. It is anything but a really consumer protection legislation in practice. It's more like a smokescreen to create the illusion that we have something in place. But second, and perhaps more importantly, it is a lack of enforcement. The federal government, through Canadian Transportation Agency, could fine airlines up to $25,000 per violation, per incident, per passenger. But it has practically fallen into disuse. And a few occasions when there is a penalty issued at all, it is less than actually the amount at stake, $200 instead of $25,000. And the airline will just occasionally pay those, pittance of fines and treat it as the cost of doing business.
Right.
It doesn't have the deterrence power. It doesn't tilt the balance of profitability from non-compliance to compliance with the law.
Well, $25,000 per head, I mean, you could literally turn that into millions of dollars.
That's right. And that's what actually can deter an airline from breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the multiplying the odds of being caught and fined with the amount of the fine is less than how much the airline can save by not complying with the law, the rational corporate decision will be breaking the law and occasionally paying a fine. It's like gambling or rolling a dice.
Right.
If you can actually calculate what is the expected value, what is the expected outcome. And in any business, taking risk and possibly having some losses is normal. As long as on average, it is the best outcome, you will do it from a sheer business perspective.
Is there anyone on the horizon in terms of new airlines or certainly airlines that may create new markets in Canada that might provide some sense of competition?
Well, we do have various airlines coming up, like Flair, which has lots of problems with reliability of service. We have seen Lynx, which also has some reliability of service issues, although we haven't seen them as much, and certainly I don't hear about them that much and as frequently, that loudly as about Flair. But these are so-called small carriers, and the problem with them is that when the flight is canceled for any reason, they tend to offer a new flight only days later. That's not practical for most Canadians in the real 21st century life. They are starting too small. That's also a problem. What Canada would need is probably some foreign, well-established foreign airlines being allowed to transport passengers within Canada. For example, when you have an American or a European airline flying already into Canada, or someone from airline from New Zealand or Australia, then they should be able to pick up passengers within Canada and then fly back maybe from a different city. So you can have maybe a Lufthansa or KLM flight coming in through Toronto, then pick up passengers from Toronto, fly to Montreal, and fly back from Montreal to Europe. So it would be a first stage. And I see also nothing wrong with some trusted countries' airlines operating entirely domestic flights within Canada.
Now, Sunwing has canceled flights from Saskatchewan entirely. Air Canada is discontinuing flights from Saskatoon and Regina to Calgary this month after it discontinued flights from Yellowknife to Edmonton last year. It feels to me, in some ways, like what happened with Greyhound when they just started winnowing down the routes. And it inconvenienced a huge amount of people. Do you see that in the crystal ball, if there is such a thing in the airline industry, that these flights and these flight paths may reappear in the future?
No, it's difficult to know. What is important, though, is that when an airline cancels flights on which seats have already been sold, they have to rebook passengers and buy them tickets in other airlines for the same route. So they cannot just walk away from the contract of carriage and tell the passenger, "You were supposed to fly from Saskatoon to Regina, now you fly from Winnipeg or Edmonton." That's not how the law works. It's troubling that Sunwing is trying to get away with that. Ultimately, no airline is supposed to operate or can be expected to operate a route which is not profitable. What is important, though, that those routes that are being operated and which the airline believes to make a profit on will be profitable while the airline respects the law. In order to make those routes again profitable, perhaps some infrastructure investment may be needed. Maybe the demand will need to be brought back. Part of the problem is that due to the inflation, the discretionary income that is available for air travel has quite potentially shrunk significantly. Those flights may not be coming back as quickly as one may hope for, but that's not something I would blame the airlines for, as long as they fulfill their contractual obligations to those passengers who already purchased tickets.
One last question. We only have like 30 seconds. So Jagmeet Singh also said that the NDP wants the CEOs of Sunwing and Air Canada to answer questions at a future transport committee meeting. Nothing's been scheduled yet. Do you think we can expect one to be scheduled?
I would certainly hope so. And I would like to also see WestJet. WestJet has been quite bad at rebooking passengers on flights of other airlines. They have not been doing it actually in practice during the storms, even though the law requires them to do so. So I don't think any single company, a single airline should be singled out. All of them should be there. All of them should be asked some very tough questions. It should be just more than one meeting.
Gabor, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Gabor Loukas, a Canadian air passenger rights advocate. Fascinating interview. When we come back, Andrea Konstad joins me, the only Bill Cosby sexual abuse survivor to gain a conviction. Stay with me. I'm Richard Krause on News Talk Tonight.